Okay, you can be seated. Thank you guys for reading the scripture for us. King David reigned in Israel about 1000 BC. After he became king, he decided to show great kindness to the house of the previous king, which was King Saul. David said, Is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? And one of the servants said, there is still a son of Jonathan, and he is crippled in his feet. His name was Mephibosheth, and he was living in a place called Lo Debar, which means no pasture. They brought him to David, and David said to him, I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, who happened to be David's best friend, and I will restore to you all that the land of Saul, your father, had, and you shall eat at my table always. David had the servants of Saul's house work the fields, that all of the land that belonged to Saul and now belonged to Mephibosheth, and to take care of all the land, while Mephibosheth got to dwell in Jerusalem, the king's city, and eat daily at the king's table. What a kind gesture from King David. What a gift. David, out of sheer grace, brought Mephibosheth from a place called No Pasture into the king's palace to live and eat from his table all of his days. He didn't earn it. It was simply by grace. It's not hard to see that this is a picture of what God does for us through Jesus Christ, the true King of Israel. He brings us poor, spiritually lame sinners from the place of sin to the place of grace. Before we look in Romans 5, let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes and help us to behold wonderful things in your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify us in your truth, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 5. Today we'll basically be looking at verse 2. Let's read together, though. I won't read the whole verses. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We'll be looking at hope next week. What we saw last week is that we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful phrase. It's great news that we can have peace with God. We are or were against God and opposed to God, but through Jesus we can be reconciled to God and be at peace with him. We mentioned that this is one of the benefits that comes to us through what Paul says is justification, what Christ did on the cross to make us right with God. One of the benefits we're looking at here in Romans 5, one of those is peace with God. But there's a second one today that we want to see. Notice he says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So today we're simply going to look at this glorious statement by Paul and try to see what he means by, through Jesus Christ, we have obtained access into this grace in which we stand. So here's the main idea that I want to give you today, right off the get-go. Through Jesus Christ, Christians have been ushered from the realm of sin to the realm of grace. So first we see that it is through him. It is through him. It is through Jesus Christ, connecting to the verse before this. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And through Jesus Christ, we also have something else. What do we have? Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So I just want to pick this apart. We have also obtained access. What does he mean? This word access here means the act of bringing to, not coming to, but someone is bringing you to, or actually introducing you. That's why my main idea is the word ushered. Maybe someone ushered you in here today. They brought you into this room and said, here's the place. Well, in the same way, we have obtained access into a place because someone brought us there. You might think of some of the old movies, like my family likes to watch the old Pride and Prejudice TV series on BBC or something like that. In the 1600s or 17, 1800s in England, you, because of social class, you did not go up to someone and just talk to them. Like, hey, how's it going? What's your name, right? You had to be introduced. Someone had to introduce you. It was impertinent. It was out of place if you just went up and talked to someone. You had to be properly introduced first. Or it might be a little bit like this story that I heard about a young boy who went to Buckingham Palace one day and he wanted to see Queen Elizabeth. And he was told by a beefeater, one of the guards, that he could not go into Buckingham Palace. And so he was very upset. Well, it just so happens that a 20-year-old Prince Charles saw it happening, I guess, out the window, and went down to the boy and said to the boy, in a sense, it's okay, I will take you in with me. You see, Prince Charles had access to the Queen. He had access to go in anytime he wanted, but not anybody did. And so he took the boy in. That's a little bit similar to the Greek original usage of this word, obtaining access. Some Greek writings use it as being ushered into the presence of a king or queen, like Esther going into the king's chamber and could not go into the throne room unless given permission for fear of death. And so if he said, if he raised his, what's that thing called? Scepter. If he raised his scepter, then she lives, and if he doesn't, then she dies. Well, in the same way, this word is used in classical Greek to be brought into the throne room of a sovereign. That's one way you can think about it. But two other uses of this word, there are only three, in the Bible or in the context of the temple in Jerusalem. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, and Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 21. I'll read Ephesians 2, 13 to 21, and see if you get the picture here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. He has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. This is in relation to Jews and non-Jews being reconciled together through Christ, that He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So what Paul means in Romans 5:2 and in Ephesians 2 is that through Jesus Christ, we have obtained access into the presence of God. We have obtained access into the Holy of Holies. The curtain of the temple that blocked access has been torn down, and now those who believe by faith have peace with God, and more than that, they have access to God. You see, like Prince Charles, I mentioned, Jesus always has access. He introduced us. He ushered us in and brought us to that place. The Bible speaks of this kind of language in various places. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God." So Paul says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have obtained access. But though he means access to God, he instead uses another phrase here. He says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. By the way, the phrase by faith there is not in a lot of Greek manuscripts. It's thought that that's simply borrowed from the context. Of course, it's by faith that we must believe in Christ or else there is no access. What does Paul mean when he says, through him, through Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into this grace in which we stand, access into grace. Grace here is likened to a place or a realm that we dwell in. It's not that we are just justified by grace as a gift, Romans 3:24, that meaning our saving grace, but grace here is described as something that we remain in. We have obtained access into this grace. We don't leave it. We don't go back and forth in and out of the realm of grace. We belong there now. And he says we even stand there. Christopher Ashe says it well when he said, we have gone through a door from the realm where sin enslaves, under sin, that is, Romans 3, to the realm where grace rules. John MacArthur said that now we, quote, we breathe the air of grace, end quote. As Christians now, we breathe the air of grace. We are in the realm of grace. Romans 8, 1, right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I think in many ways, it's hard for us to grasp this concept of being brought into this, obtained access into grace, because as I have mused on it for days, it's too wonderful, it seems, for us to accept that God would actually be that gracious to us. Spiritually, we are Mephibosheth. We are lame. We live in a desolate place. And the king comes to us and shows us unmerited favor, nothing that we have done, through Jesus Christ, and gives us a seat at his table. Just think, what would it be like for Mephibosheth to eat daily at the king's table? Do you think that was a good place? Through Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into this grace in which we stand. What does he mean by this grace in which we stand? Why does he say stand? This word stand means to abide in, to live there permanently. What's the opposite of standing? Sitting? Yeah. Spiritually, the opposite of this stand is falling. This is a place you don't fall out of. It's a place you've been brought into by grace, into the realm of grace, and you don't leave there. I believe that what we're supposed to see in this word stand, this grace into which we stand, is security. Romans 5 is somewhat similar to Romans 8. Some people actually think Romans 5 maybe is out of order in the text. Romans 8:38, what does it say? I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For those who are in Christ, we stand in grace. We are in the realm of grace. John Curson said, we can plant ourselves in the presence of God and enjoy Him as long as we want, anytime we wish. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, you know this very well. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. The throne of grace. That picture of being ushered in, introduced, brought into the throne room, brought into the Holy of Holies by Christ, the High Priest, by Christ, our Mediator, by Christ, the Son of God, bringing us to that place because He has access, and because we believe in Him, we now have obtained access into this grace in which we stand. Through Jesus Christ, Christians have been ushered from the realm of sin to the realm of grace. Let's talk about some application. If you're not a Christian today, I have really good news for you. Great news for you. Romans 5, this passage tells us that you can have peace with God today. Isn't that great? You can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And you can be transferred from the realm of sin and selfishness and living for yourself on the pathway to destruction, and you can instead be brought into the realm of grace and stay there forever. Not based upon your own merit, but based upon what Christ has done for you. Jesus paid the price on the cross for our sins, and now we can have access to God. So he calls you to believe. Believe in him today and find peace with God. A Christian, what do we need to take home from this text? What does the seasoned Christian need to take home from this text? Well, you might think of lots of things. I've tried to think of a few things. Through him, we have also obtained access into this grace in which we stand. I think one application is for us to remember that we live in the realm of grace. Remember that we are not condemned. Your past does not define you. You are no longer under sin, but you are under grace. Maybe there's someone in here today. Well, let's not say that. Maybe all of us have messed up recently. And you may feel like, oh, you're not very good at this Christian thing. Ready to throw in the towel. The devil likes to say things like, well, you've already messed up. You might as well enjoy sin. Excuse me. And go back to your old ways. But I think what this text tells us is we are to stand in grace. We are to remain there. Dust ourselves off. Get back up. Confess our sins to the Lord and keep going. The devil would like us to give up. Would like us to believe lies that we're not under grace. But Christian, you are in the realm of grace. Jesus already died for your sins. They've already been paid for. Keep going. Stand firm in grace. Some of you may need to repent today of some sin. We will take the Lord's Supper in a moment. This would be the time to confess your sins to the Lord and simply turn away from sin. When I was growing up in the church, people used to go down front in front of the church and they would say things like, I'm coming today to rededicate my life to the Lord. Which is a great thing to do, right? We do that. We should do that every day. It's not just a season where I'm rededicating myself to the Lord, but really we rededicate ourselves to the Lord every day and come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and time of need. I think one of the applications we'll get to in Romans chapter 6, where he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So part of the application, and if we stand in the realm of grace, is that we don't abuse God's grace and keep living in sin. But out of a heart of thankfulness for what Christ has done for us, we say, Lord, I don't want to go back there. I belong in the realm of grace because of what Christ has done. And I will continue to follow you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we do rejoice today that we know because of what Christ has done, not because of what we have done, that we stand in grace. It's like you've brought us, Lord, into a field of grace, away from the no pasture to the king's table. Lord, We confess it's hard for us to believe that you would be so loving of unworthy sinners like ourselves. Lord, we pray that you would teach us to stand firm, relying upon your grace, walking holy in every area of our lives, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Saved a wretch like us. Thank you, Lord, that we know in Christ that there is nothing that is going to keep us from the heavenly city. And we look forward to that in hope. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.